Coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
I gotta go. Yeah, okay, God is good, God is great. We gotta go.
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
We went right back to rape because it's what we know.
Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie has been rated PG by the Motion Picture Association of America.
Welcome, my friends, and thank you for pressing play on another episode of Huntsville Home Video, the podcast where one week we might be talking about chicks taking multiple penises and demonic puppets. The next weekend, we're talking about kid movies.
That's just how we roll.
That's how we do it here in the HSV.
We like to keep people on a roller coaster because I feel like our lives are roller coasters, so we might as well just have them along on the ride with us.
Correct.
You know?
If you're joining us after last week's wild, bug nutty Willy's Wonderland discussion, thank you for coming back. We appreciate that.
I had to sit in silence for a while and think about what all we had talked about.
It was so good.
It was great.
I
feel like that was authentically us, but I had to meditate about it for a second.
Yeah, if you ever want a glimpse into who Jack and Leanne really are, check out last week's episode of Huntsville Home Video where we talked about Willy's Wonderland. Or stick around for this week's discussion of, like I said, what is essentially a kid's movie.
Yes.
But you wanted an animated movie.
I did.
And for those that have maybe come back after Willy's Wonderland or maybe just checking us out for the first time, what we do here at Huntsville Home Video, we take a movie that Leanne has never seen. We introduce it to her. We talk about it. We sometimes wildly go off topic, talk about other things.
True.
But for the most part, talk about movies.
We get through the movie eventually.
We do eventually.
We do always achieve the goal that we set out to achieve. Just takes us a while sometimes.
Yeah. We add a little flavor to the discussion.
We are the spice of life.
We are, yep. We ain't no just salt and pepper. No. We got a little cayenne in there. We got some other spices that I'm not thinking of right now. We got some jerk seasonings. Bam.
Got that red pepper flake.
Yes, red pepper flake. Booyah. All of that. All up
spicy
in your taste buds.
Spicy and sweet. All at the same time.
Mm-hmm. All happening on your taste buds at once. That's how we do.
We exploding on them buds, son.
Yeah. That's the new tagline. Huntsville Home Video. We exploding on them buds. On them buds, son.
On them buds, son. Write it down. We need to create a drink and have that be our, like,
God, like at this point, that drink would be all the juice that accumulates on the bar mat, and you just dump it into a thing and maybe put a little garnish on top. That's us.
We would be quite an aftertaste.
Yeah. Put a little umbrella in there so it looks good, but goddamn, does it taste like shit.
Ooh, you're going through some shit.
Yep. There's another great tagline. Huntsville Home Video, the podcast for when you're going through some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man, it's going to be a great day today.
Well, it's been a great 2 minutes.
And today we are talking about, like I said, you wanted an animated movie.
I did.
Hundreds of them flashed through my mind.
Of course.
Because I've seen some films.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose to review with you, introduce you to what I consider to be probably my favorite animated movie.
Okay.
I think definitely one of the best, one of the more underappreciated gems of our time. Mm-hmm. And we will be talking about The Iron Giant today.
Yeah.
So right off the bat, before we get into much else, Leanne, my movie chum, my hell buddy, what did you think about The Iron Giant?
Solid film.
Solid film.
Yeah, it was really good.
Would you consider it a classic?
I would say that's a classic.
That's what's up.
Yeah, super well done. Animated movie. A lot of heavy stuff we're talking about in this film.
Yeah.
But very good. Very well
super
done.
Super good. Love this movie. Even going back, having watched it, having not watched it for a couple of years, watching it again recently as we reviewed it. Man, do I love this movie.
Yeah.
So much awesomeness in this movie from an animation standpoint. I love that style of animation.
Yes.
We don't get that anymore.
Nope.
You know, this was actually one of the first movies to blend kind of computer generated imagery with classic animation. A lot of the giant stuff was actually done through computer animation.
Okay.
And then, like, I think if you go back and watch it again, maybe you can kind of spot that.
Mm-hmm.
But just that hand-drawn animation style where you can kind of see like a few of the imperfections.
Yes.
I love that style.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. And then
I grew up on that. Like,
yeah.
I was 9 when this film came out. I don't know how I missed it, but
right?
Like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, you were out digging for dinosaur bones with your Furby.
True. Wishing that I could find my own iron giant in the woods. Maybe that's why my mom kept me away from it. It was like, she didn't need to go out in the woods as much as she does.
There's iron giants out there.
Girl needs to get back to civilization.
She's becoming feral.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Pretty much. And this movie came out the week after my 20th birthday.
Okay.
So I go see this movie and absolutely love it.
Oh, at 20, you were
at
going
20.
To animated movies.
Yeah.
I never even put that together.
Right? At 20.
You were like super excited. You saw the trailer and you were like, OMG, I got to go see Iron Giant. Okay.
I mean, look, who I am as a person hasn't really changed much from the days of my youth. I love robots. I like animation.
True.
I like nerdy shit.
True.
I mean, this movie checks a lot of boxes for
it
your
does.
Old boy.
It does. It does. Got the comic book stuff in it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got 100%. Some comic book stuff in it. Like I said, I love that animation style. I love 50s cinema, like those, like a lot of the movies that this movie kind of homages to,
mm-hmm.
like that Cold War era, that paranoia era, like the monster movies from the 50s. Like, this is really an homage to one of those movies.
True.
And I dig that kind of throwback to when everyone was just like heads up their asses, paranoid as shit, a lot like we are today, but now we have Facebook, so it's a lot more in your face.
It's worse.
Yeah.
It's so much worse. Before, we had little informational videos in black and white for atomic, you know, bombs. And now it's like, everything's killing us.
Right.
It's in the food.
Well, even watching
grab
this.
Your gun.
Even watching The Iron Giant, where they have that little bit where they're in school and they're watching the video on atomic holocaust. And I was
did you look at that and was like, that's nothing.
Right. Well, what I thought was like, man, people were stupid back then. Wait, no, they're. God, they're fucking morons right now. Shit. We have not evolved since the 50s.
No, we haven't. And I pointed it out in my notes. We have not evolved since that time because it's very accurate, the film, and it's very accurate of today.
Yeah, because now if you're showing atomic holocaust videos in school, you're going to have like fact checkers coming out of the woodwork. You're going to have, no, actually what they mean is.
I'm sorry, it takes 3.7 seconds for your skin to peel off, not 2.8.
Right.
Fact check.
Fucking
are you
girls.
Sure you want to hear this? Because it might not be accurate.
but damn, this movie made me think of simpler times. Made me yearn for them.
Right?
Fuck, the world sucks.
I know. But hey, you know what doesn't suck? You and I getting together to talk about a movie every week.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's your little break from reality.
Exactly.
Until we bring you crashing back down to
As
it.
As we face our reality, it gives you a break from your reality sometimes.
Yeah. So much good about this movie. This really, I think, as I was thinking of the other movies that we've reviewed, this is probably the most just good-hearted, pure, innocent movie that we've reviewed.
Yeah, because we don't do many of those. We don't do any of those.
I mean, we've done a couple.
We did One Crazy Summer, didn't we?
Yeah.
But it wasn't as pure. I mean, there was teen sex in
there. There was a lot. I mean, Spaced Invaders, which was a very fun, pure movie.
Yes.
Which we, in turn, talked about, like, heroin addiction. And,
right, we did.
And
we did.
Shit like that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we can take...
Leonard 6 wasn't bad as far as that, but we made a lot of child molestation cracks.
There was a lot of rape jokes.
There was a lot of rape. There was a lot of rape.
And look at the world we're in now. Bill Cosby rotting away in prison when we reviewed Leonard 6. He's now out. I would like to think that our review of Leonard 6 got him out, which is why we should be canceled. We got Bill out of prison.
We got Bill out.
God.
We're going to take credit for it.
No, we're not.
No.
I don't
want
that.
Are we going to leave
credit.
That one alone?
Yeah. But now he might actually hear the podcast.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine if, maybe he heard it in prison and he's like, I'm going to get out.
He's coming after us?
I'm going to come after those Huntsville Home Video creeps.
Good thing the motherfucker can't see.
Where did they go? Bill, they went left. No, we went right. Gotcha, sucker.
Yep, that's how that went.
Yeah.
That's exactly how that went.
No, don't drink that juice, Leanne.
What?
Oh, shit, she's out. Make a break for it.
Leave me. I'll be the sacrifice. Save yourself.
Save yourself from this 80-plus-year-old man.
I'll only remember portions of it. Just go. That's terrible.
And I'll only accuse him years later.
Right. Oh, snap.
Jesus, weren't we talking? We were going to talk about a kid's movie today.
We just got through saying this is the most wholesome thing that happened to this podcast so far. And now we're back on the rape. We went right back to rape because it's what we know. It's what we know. It's what makes us comfy. We went back to the rape.
It's our own personal snuggie. God damn it, you just killed me. Oh, fuck. I'm going to need a moment. That was good.
I'm sorry.
That was good. That was on point.
No, I'm not apologizing.
No,
you're welcome.
I am who I am, and you know
you're
it.
Welcome for the things that come out of my mouth.
That's right.
You're welcome, all of you.
50-plus episodes in, you know the monster you created.
You know the drill, motherfucker.
Jesus. The Iron Giant.
The Iron Friggin' Giant.
One of the most innocent pure movies that I have ever seen. A movie that, like, I still watch and I feel innocent and pure, knowing full well that I am not.
I was giddy as a child when I watched this film.
Yeah?
Yeah. I went back to Furby having Lily.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm sitting on the couch, like, cross-legged. I was like, ooh, what's going on?
Very good. All right. Yeah. All right.
Took me back to some places a child, as a free-thinking, adventurous child within the confines of my backyard.
Back before I ever met that monster Jack Spade, he turned me into the just soulless creature that I am today.
True. We won't debate that.
But then for 87 minutes, I could watch The Iron Giant and feel better about who I am.
Exactly.
And then make rape jokes.
We always got to come back to it.
We always come back to
we
it.
We go back to the rape.
Now, it might shock you to know that The Iron Giant was a commercial failure when it came out.
Really?
It did not do well. Unfortunately. Huh. And years later, blame has been placed solely on Warner Brothers, which is not shocking because Warner Brothers, they fuck up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They had an animated feature, I think it was like Quest for Camelot, that didn't do well, and then this was already in production, and they're like, this movie failed. I don't know if animation is the future, and I don't know what to do here. Let's cut the budget. Let's not do any marketing. Let's not have any toy tie-ins. So when the movie came out, there was very little marketing. There was they were supposed to have either like McDonald's or Burger King, one of the Happy Meal toys. They were supposed to have Iron Giant tie-ins. They canceled that.
Oh, that's so dumb.
Even though when they did test screenings for this movie, it was the highest rated movie that Warner Brothers had screened in over 15 years.
And they didn't do any marketing.
And they did very, very little marketing. They had one teaser poster for the movie. They had, of course, the trailers and the occasional commercials. And then that was about it. Like, it did not get a lot of press. But of course, being the 20-year-old nerd that I am, I'm like, I'm gonna check this shit out. I went with a buddy of mine that we went to high school with, and both of us just in awe the entire time.
Yeah.
We're like, holy shit, we would tell anyone that would listen, you need to go see this movie. But unfortunately, Warner Brothers put all of their advertising budget into the Wild Wild West.
Oh no.
they thought that was gonna be the big hit.
Who's making the decisions?
For years, I have questioned this. I'm fascinated by big studio movies, like all the behind the scenes stuff. Like, how much work actually goes into a movie getting made the way that it does is fascinating to me. And this one, when they started making it, Brad Bird was the director of this movie. He went on to direct The Incredibles, Ratatouille.
Oh, Incredibles is one of the greatest I ever thought.
Right?
Yeah.
Kudos for having seen The Incredibles.
Yay!
Brad Bird directed that. He directed The Iron Giant. Because of all the budgetary cuts, the studio was kind of hands off with him. They're like, yeah, do whatever. Mm-hmm. And so he got to do whatever, which having creative control on a movie like this is almost unheard of.
Right.
But that's kind of how you get the awesome movies, the ones that sneak through the cracks, you know? And that's what happened with this one. So
what a shame.
Yeah. No one saw The Iron Giant and no one saw Wild Wild West. But one of those movies was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And it was The Iron Giant.
It was not The West.
No.
No.
But thankfully, years later, it did find an audience when it came out on home video. Because like I said, the critics loved this movie. The audience that saw the movie loved it. Mm-hmm. So when they actually did a home video release, because it wasn't quite DVD time yet, this got a Laserdisc release.
Oh, I heard about them Laserdiscs.
Yep. It was on Laserdisc. It was on home video. It got much more recognition. They actually put some money behind it then, and it went on to eventually become a cult classic. It got a special edition Blu-ray release, something in like 2014, 2015.
Nice.
And still to this day, one of the most talked about movies, one of the highest rated animated movies, definitely the highest rated movie that Vin Diesel had ever been in.
Right.
But yeah, overall a classic, and I'm really glad you liked it.
Yeah, I did. I did. I enjoyed it for sure. I want to own an Iron Giant now.
Yes.
Can you own them now?
You can.
You can?
Recently, they've come out with one that's at Walmart. You can buy it for like $20.
He's worth $20.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was good.
Great design. Mm-hmm. I love the design of the Iron Giant.
It was simple, but amazing.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't too elaborate. He was simple, but in an awesome way.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like something that would come out of the 50s, yes. That era of sci-fi.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, I've seen that toy on the shelf recently. You could probably still go get it.
Oh, I want him.
There's also a company called Mondo. And they create these amazing posters and prints for movies. And then they do, occasionally they'll do like statues and figures and like more higher end collectibles. Uh-huh. They got some Iron Giant shit too.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now I got to go spend more money for the Iron Giant.
We're going to have to get we are going to have to start a Patreon so that we can start making some money off of this thing so we can buy collectibles.
Toys. Yeah. Well, you know.
Hey, are you into feet? Join our Patreon.
Oh, no.
And help Leanne buy the Iron Giant Mondo.
Please don't. Please, I can't. I can't stoop to that level. It's too much. It's too gross. Above the ankle.
Above the ankle.
Keep it above the anks.
Hey, do you like calf muscles?
Got a thing for knees?
Oh, shit. That's what's up. That's where we're going with this Iron Giant podcast. We're going to start an OnlyFans instead of a Patreon.
I can't.
Let's get into it and see how pure we can keep it today.
Well, we're in Earth. Earth, 1957, somewhere off the coast of Maine. And there's a fireball approaching the Earth, speeding towards the Earth. This could be the end. It's not.
Oh, bummer.
But it's witnessed by a Maydayan fisherman who's in trouble because there's a big storm out. But thankfully, he sees a lighthouse. But wait a minute. It's the giant. It's this thing with eyes. He's crashed into this metal iron thing. But luckily, he washes to shore. No death in the movie yet. So the next morning, we get a look at the nice little coastal town. And we meet Hogarth, which is a great terrible name for
a
character.
Terrible name, Hogarth.
Have you ever heard that name before? I had never in my whole entire life.
Nope.
No.
I've never.
Hogarth. But we meet Hogarth, who is a paper boy, and he's super sweet. He rescues, I think he was a paper boy, or maybe he was just on his bike. I don't know. But he rescues animals. He's
good,
adorable.
Good kid.
Mom works at the diner. No dad to be found. Also, Jennifer Aniston is the voice of the mom.
Best performance she's ever done.
I'm glad you said it because I got into a thing where I said, is she really an actress?
And yeah.
And I got terrible looks for it. I'm like, she's famous. and she's in things, but is she truly an actress of the time?
Right.
I don't consider that.
No.
No shame in her game.
Nope.
But that's not her level.
No.
You know what I mean?
I 100% know what you mean.
Right.
But I think there are celebrities like that mm-hmm. who have the capability of turning in amazing performances. They just don't.
Right.
They will maybe years later.
Okay.
You know, like say Adam Sandler, mm-hmm. you know, like you see him as like Billy Madison or Happy Gilmore. And then you see him in a movie like Punch Drunk Love, which wasn't a great movie. Mm-hmm. But you, oh, shit, he's got dramatic chops. Or you see him in Uncut Gems, the new one.
I haven't seen either of those.
You're like, holy shit, you have that ability, but you don't do it. You don't.
You stick into what you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
Like she kind of catered, like she was recently on a show, Apple Plus did it, The Morning Show.
Where she's an anchor. She do good in that?
I only watched about half the first season and then I got distracted by other things, but she wasn't horrible.
Yeah.
But I always think back to The Iron Giant because this to me, like, I'm like, you have the chops for fucking voiceover work.
Mm-hmm.
You killed it in this one.
She did a good job.
Yeah.
She was a good Annie, I think was her name.
Mm-hmm.
So he has gone to the diner to visit his mom and he has a squirrel in a box that he's rescued. And of course it's gotten loose in the diner and it runs into, or he's looking for the squirrel and he runs into this guy who I thought was going to be Charlie Sheen. Cause he looked like Charlie Sheen.
Really? You think that looks like Charlie Sheen?
No, but he just seemed like a Charlie Sheen of today. Just like in the diner. I don't know. That's not who he was in this film, but at first I was like, is this Charlie Sheen?
Just a no good beatnik.
That's what I thought he was going to be. But no, he's good. He's a good guy. His name is Dean, and he's reading the paper about a Russian satellite in the sky. So we're setting the tone for the era. What's
mm-hmm.
going on?
Mm-hmm.
I like him because he defended. There's the fisherman telling his story about how he saw this iron giant thing. And Dean actually defends the guy. And he's like, yeah, if you don't defend the kooks, who will?
But, yeah.
I'm like, that's solid reasoning.
As I've gotten older, I've become conflicted on this character because,
really? Well,
I love who he is as a character. I just hate his look. I hate that little soul patch. I'm not a soul patch guy. I don't like beatniks. Beatniks are the hipsters of the 50s.
I'm going to be honest with you. I was all about Dean.
Are you?
Surprisingly, I was all about Dean.
Did it have anything to do with the fact that he was voiced by Harry Connick Jr.?
Oh, maybe so. Yeah. I liked his voice.
Yeah.
I really liked his voice and the way he used his words. Like, I thought Harry Connick Jr. did a great job voicing him.
Yeah.
Perfectly. And then I was like, oh, you do garbage art?
You do garbage art.
Which is a thing that I would despise in real life, but I'm like, I'll let it pass.
I just have a disdain for hipsters.
I get it. I get where you're at.
Yeah. But that's where the conflict comes from. Cause like, this is just a good hearted character.
He's a good dude. He stays to himself. He does his job. You know what I mean? Like he just happens to be,
you know, like that first dude in the '50s that was drinking espresso because it's like the cool shit to drink, man. Pick up my soul patch.
Let's not dig into him because I really liked him.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna let you have Dean. He's
thank
all
you,
yours.
Thank you. And Harry Connick Dean was great.
Harry Connick. I'm not gonna tear him down for you. Loved him. I'm over the conflict. Loved him.
Appreciate you so much for this today.
Absolutely.
I'll repay the favor somehow.
We're innocent and pure today. I'm not gonna tear your world down.
Innocent and pure today. So the squirrel, while they're talking, goes up Dean's pants. And I love that he stands up and he's like, I apologize beforehand for this. And he takes his pants down and the squirrel comes out.
Which for a children's movie was kind of an aggressive shot. Like you're standing from, it's filmed from the back and he just like pops open his fly and a squirrel pops out. You're mm-hmm. like, man, this is.
This guy's packing,
this
son.
This is aggressive. He's got crotch squirrels.
Squirrel hiding a nut. So the poor squirrel, it wrecks the restaurant. So that night, Hogarth, his mom has to work late, so he's staying up late eating Twinkies, watching scary stories.
Stuffing those Twinkies with extra whipped cream, by the way.
Brilliant.
You ever done that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you?
Just the
matter-of-factness.
Yep.
Right?
Also, because 9 times out of 10, everything I ever... Have you ever done this? Have you ever seen that?
No.
Stuffing a Twinkie with more whipped cream. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. If there's a way to get extra calories, Mama's figured it out.
Yeah.
There's more room in these.
Yeah. Well, they put the holes in the bottom for a reason. Plug. Bump.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, after seeing this movie, I was like, I need to go get a box of Twinkies and a jar, like a can of whipped cream.
Do you not want Twinkies right now? Because I do.
I had them for breakfast.
Did you? Oh, you motherfucker.
Innocent and pure today.
Innocent and pure today. You gosh darn and hooligan. So.
You know good, Nick.
So.
Herrumph.
Herrumph. So he stays up late eating Twinkies, watching scary stories, all of the stuff he wasn't supposed to do. When the TV cuts out and he goes to adjust the antenna on top of the house, which that was nostalgia. I remember as a kid, I can't remember if I told this story, but I think I did maybe on the podcast where my granddad had an antenna and I would have to go turn it. It was like pulled down to the bottom, so I'd turn it. And then I remember when he got an electric motor on it, and so you just had to hit a button and it would turn itself.
Ooh, newfangled technology.
He's like, go in there and hit the button. He's like, no, turn it the other way. And I'd be like, yeah.
Wow.
That was legit.
I remember my grandma, who lived out in the middle of nowhere, North Dakota, had one of those huge honking satellite dishes in the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wanted to go climb on it, you know, but I never could.
Yeah.
I was never allowed to.
I remember when we got, it was called Prime Star. That was the first dish that we got.
All right.
And it was legit. We were like in the neighborhood. We were like it in the neighborhood.
Man.
You know?
And now you can get all of that technology in a little box.
On your phone.
On your phone.
For outrageous prices a month. I don't want the commercials, so I have to pay more.
That's right. I'm poor, but I'm not going to watch TV like I am.
I'm poor. I'm not a peasant.
That's right.
That's where the distinction comes in.
Very good. That's class warfare in a nutshell.
That's right. I'm like, oh, I'm so poor. Oh, really? I'm paying over $100 a month for just this gadget right here.
Uh-huh.
But I'm poor.
Do you like, well, I know you do. You password share some of your account. Because I have your Shutter password.
You do, which I forgot I was paying for. And then I was like, oh, shit, I can't get rid of it now because Jack's got it.
Oh, shit. You can get rid of it.
No, it's okay.
Like, I literally wanted to watch one thing on Shutter and I watched it.
What'd you watch?
It's like Cursed Movie Productions or whatever.
Oh, that's right. That's a good one.
Yeah. So I wanted to watch that. I watched it and I honestly haven't gone back to Shutter. So if you need to cancel.
No, I don't. Okay. Because I randomly think of some odd or I see some odd horror movie. And I'm like, yeah, I want to try that out. It's usually on Shudder.
Okay. Because
they have most everything on there.
All right, cool. So we're keeping Shudder.
Yeah, so we're good.
We got that. But like if you password share with someone who hasn't paid for the commercial free version, I'm like, come on, man. Come on. Why would you even give me this password?
Wait, what now? Say that again.
Like if you get someone's, let's say, Hulu,
uh-huh,
and they have the ad version,
yeah,
like the lower version, it's like, I don't want to watch commercials.
I'm in that situation with Hulu right now. With our coworker.
Oh.
And I paid extra for Disney and HBO, no commercials.
As well you should.
But I'm getting commercials on my Golden Girls, and I don't appreciate it at all. And I'm trying to figure out if I can just pay her the price difference and if we can upgrade.
Man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Be poor, don't be a peasant.
Be poor, don't be a peasant. There's our distinction.
Yep.
So anyways, so he goes to adjust the antenna. And there's been some destruction to the antenna. We might possibly have invaders from Mars.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Where are they at?
We got to go out there and hunt them. They're obviously in the woods, so we got to get a BB gun. We got to get a light for the BB gun, which I've done before. I love the taped.
Really?
Yeah.
You've made modifications to weaponry.
I did, yes.
Awesome.
I had a BB gun back in the day.
Did you have that packing when you were out in the woods digging for dino bones with your Furby?
Sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You ever kill anything?
No, I've not. Okay. I can honestly say I've never shot an animal. I never went hunting.
Not even just like a stray cat to see what it feels like?
Nope. Have
cool.
you?
Cool, me neither. Innocent and pure today.
Okay. I shot a lot of beer cans.
All right.
My granddad would hang beer cans and be like, shoot this. I'd be like, okay. Pew.
Were you a good shot?
I got pretty good, but I haven't shot like a gun in years.
Hmm.
So I don't know what what use I would be now trying to shoot something.
Yes, because I'm recruiting for apocalypse scenarios. I'm doing interviews here.
I mean, I'll go take a class.
See, the apocalypse has already started. We don't have time for classes. We need producers
right now.
Okay, that's
fine. Look, I'm not afraid to shoot anything running at me. Let me just go ahead okay. and put it that way. I know they're the threat. I want me to win, so I'm not going to second guess it. If it starts running at me, I'll shoot it.
That's legit.
Okay?
All right.
And I'm not a bullet waster. I'm not going to be that dumb, so... Because I get mad at that in the movies.
When they're just firing all willy-nilly.
When you're firing willy-nilly, you cannot make me madder than when you start doing that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure you can. I just said that for dramatic effect. but anyways, yeah, I'll shoot. Shoot them.
All right. Pop,
I don't
pop.
Care who you used to be. You're a zombie who wants to eat me now. Pop.
Stand your ground.
One bullet. That's all
yep.
it took.
Yep. Get it.
So he's out on the hunt. And we see that Red Menace comic book, you know, so we got the comic book filling all these kids' heads with nonsense about men coming from Mars and shit.
I do love some good propaganda.
Right. So he treks through the woods and he finds a power grid. Know what they're called? Power grid mm-hmm. or power plant, whatever. And he finds the Iron Giant who eats metal.
Comes out of nowhere.
Nowhere, which I love that he stomps the rest of the time, but when he's lurking, obviously he doesn't stomp.
He's, you know? He's real stealthy when he needs to be.
He can get in that stealth mode real quick.
Uh-huh.
And so he eats a piece of metal out of the power grid, and he gets electrocuted. Very, not graphic, maybe too hard of a word to use, but very, I mean, he gets electrocuted.
Yeah.
He is stuck in these wires for a long time.
Well, and even watching this movie again last night, I was like, man, like, I don't think they would go that route if they made this movie today. Like,
no.
Everything would be a little softer. Even some of the words that they used in this movie, like some of the action, some of the themes that they used in this movie were a little over the head.
They're a little heavy.
Yeah. And they don't, you know, they put some of that emotion in like Pixar movies. Like a Pixar movie will fucking hit you where you live.
Like that I just always think of Up.
I was going to say, the first 20 minutes of Up, I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I was a bubbling mess. We had to pause the movie. Luckily, I didn't see it in a theater.
Oh, I did.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It would have ruined me.
I wanted to go see that. And I was like, Jesus Christ, this is where we're starting today. This is where we're starting this family film, mm-hmm. this Pixar movie.
Right.
A grown-ass man just crying in front of a bunch of kids. God damn it. Fuck.
Kids are like, what's so funny? I'm like,
Yeah. And then, you know, like a parent isn't going to explain that to a child.
No.
They're like, what? Why is that grown man just like tearing up like a little bitch, Mom? Stay away from him. He's got beard and tattoos. Don't go near him.
He's a freak.
Yeah. Man, them Pixar movies hit you where you
they
live.
Do.
Like right in the emotions.
They really do. Right in the heart.
Just working them over like a speed bag.
Yeah. So he gets electrocuted and he gets stuck in the power lines. And Hogarth goes to leave, but he decides he's going to save the Iron Giant. And he goes and he pulls down the big on-off switch, turns off the power, which turns out the whole neighborhood, I think. And he goes and leaves.
And I love just a comically large on-off switch.
Yes. He had to pull his whole body on
Just something about the big on, the big off in block letters and a gigantic handle. Like, I don't know what it is that's so aesthetically pleasing about that to me. But it's like, that I think it's a metaphor for how I just want the world to work.
Right. You want to be able to just shut that off.
Yep.
Shut people off. Just whatever. It's like, I don't want to taper. I don't want to wean. Like, let's just shut it down.
Just click.
Mm-hmm.
Big lever into the off position. Problem solved.
These hipster motherfuckers off.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Ka-chow.
Yep. I don't want to feel these feelings right now with this Pixar movie.
Right?
Off.
Yes.
Damn it. I'm human. Off.
Okay, we're getting dark now.
Now, innocent and pure today.
We're getting dark. So he saves him, and he tells his mom about it. Because I think he runs out into the road, right? And she grabs him. Anyways, he's trying to tell her what happened, and she does not believe what he saw. And they don't believe him at school while they're watching their atomic war propaganda and about what you should do and what should happen if the bombs come or whatever. The kids don't listen to him, nobody. Poor little old Hogarth.
Now, there is, I'm sure there's movies out there where this happens. In fact, it even happens in the book that this movie is based on. It was based on a book called The Iron Man.
Okay.
That was written, I think, in the 50s, 60s.
Oh.
But anyway, in the book, the book kind of goes off into some wildly different places than the movie does. Mm-hmm. But in the book, when the kid finds the Iron Giant, he goes home and tells his dad, and his dad's like, all right, let's go find it.
Oh.
So like, how, like, and again, I'm sure there are movies where this happens, but like the old cliche, like, oh, that no one believes him, you know, I want to see a movie where someone comes in, just tells a wild tale. And the parent figure is like, let's go find this Iron Giant.
Right.
Like, how awesome would that be?
Wouldn't that be amazing? Do you feel like if you told your dad that he would go with you? I feel like if I did with my granddad, he would have.
I think my dad would have. But he would have laughed at me the whole way.
Right.
Like, my dad was into the, like, he's into the shit that I'm into to make fun of me for it.
Of course.
Yeah. like he'll still kind of talk about professional wrestling as the dumbest shit ever.
Well
yeah. Yeah. Like, he took me.
I just lost a few fans there.
he took me to a WWF way back then, to a live event, and he laughed at it the whole time. He's like, he's not even hitting him. I'm like, he is too, Dad. He's hitting him in the face. Look at him. He's hurt. He's like, no, he's not.
He's not hurt.
My God.
If you sit and think about it, it's ridiculous, but I will say, I went with one of our coworkers to, they had a, it was a WWE now? It was a WWE live?
Yeah.
Whatever the hell, W, whatever. So, and I was like, this is going to be something I've never done before, but whatever. And I got so wrapped up in it. I didn't know who was who. I don't know who I was cheering for, but yep. I was like, F yeah, here we go. Yeah, I got into it.
I growing up, I wanted to be a professional wrestler so bad.
Aww.
I wanted to be a WWF guy. And I'd always tell my dad about that. And he's like, well, I mean, you've talked about other things too. Like, why don't you look into those? Have you, like, he didn't crush the dream.
No.
But he was realistic about it.
Right.
He was like, yeah, how many push-ups did you do today? And I was like, well played, Dad. Mm-hmm. Well played. I didn't do any push-ups
also
today.
You were little. You were about as skinny as that mic stand you're
that's
talking
true
on.
I was very scrawny
little guy.
Yeah. In fact, I believe one time it was when I was in high school when I hit that scrawny phase, and I still every Monday I'd watch Monday Night Raw. I'm like, I'm watching wrestling. You know, sometimes my dad would come in and he'd poke his head and he'd be like, what is that? What? A wrestling clown? Really? It's an evil clown. This is so dumb. Are you going to wrestle the evil clown, Jack? Are you going to is that what you want to do with your life? I'm like, yeah, Dad. I want to wrestle evil clowns. I want to make you proud of me. And then I could see it if I actually did make it to the WWF. I wrestled Doink the Clown, and my dad in the audience just like, God, you're so stupid.
You're one heckler. You're one heckler in the audience.
I could have been the most over wrestler ever.
Yeah.
And my dad would be like, he's so dumb.
Bring it down.
I'm proud of you. I tell people my son's a WWE champion, but God, you're dumb.
But that's what parents are here for.
Right?
Yeah. That's what parents should do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if I told my dad there was an Iron Giant, he's just like, all right, well, we're going to go find this Iron Giant. And when it's like something else, I'm going to laugh at you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do it in a way that lets you know I'm kind of proud of you, but I also think you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably what I would have gotten. pretty similar. Yep. So nobody believes him. And then in town, we see the fisherman who crashed into him at the beginning of the movie. No one's believing him, but he's called the FBI. He's called the government. And they send out an agent, Kent Mansley.
Great name.
Because he's manly, right? And he's investigating the power grid. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, he's just out there to investigate. But he doesn't believe any of this nonsense. He really thinks they're all crazy.
Yeah, he wants to be big time so bad. And this is so beneath him.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like so pissed off that he's even there.
And then he goes to get back in his car. And there's a big chomp out of it.
Oh, shit.
It's gone. And then it's gone. Something big is a-happening. So later on, we get Hogarth, who is trying to lure. I loved this so much. He's luring the giant by grabbing like metal, like sheets of metal. And he's like running out like a treat. He's like, come here, giant. Come on, giant. It was super cute. Leaving metal scraps. And it eventually works. And even though the Iron Giant may look scary, he's really sweet. And he starts to imitate Hogarth's movements. Like, he plops down on the ground, sitting like him, and he brings him the on-off switch, knowing that Hogarth is the one who saved him from the electrocution.
Aww.
Isn't that great? He knows he saved him. They're communicating. And so Hogarth goes to this thing where he tries to teach him, like, words, and he's like rock and tree, and he's so excited because he's got his own robot, but he can't tell anybody about it because they'll all wig out. So he's like, don't wig out, man. Just don't wig out.
Could you keep that a secret?
God. No.
No.
Probably not.
I 100% could not.
I don't know.
I would not only not keep it a secret, I'd also be like, hey, Giant, Billy down the street there was kind of a dick to me. Mm-hmm. Go step on his parents' house.
100% is what you would
do. That's a yup.
Yeah. But it would bring attention to your robot, and then you wouldn't have your robot.
That's also true.
I feel like I know I'm goofy, but I feel like I'd be smart enough to figure that out. I like to think that I could keep it a secret.
Yeah, and I know full well I couldn't. Mm. I'm just like, oh, it's show and tell day? Have I got something for y'all motherfuckers?
Boom. 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 Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was a master of show and tell back in them grade school days. Look at this shit. Here's a frog that I found. Oh, look at this. Here's a new transformer that I bought. Look at this. Here's a VHS copy of RoboCop that my dad got for. Bring that home.
I can't remember anything I took for show and tell. I cannot remember anything.
Not even the Furby?
Nah, I'm sure I took the Furby, but no, I don't remember. I don't remember show and tell. I don't remember any show and tell.
Did they not have that when you were a kid?
We did. I'm sure we did.
Maybe it was just something I saw in a movie.
Maybe. Maybe that didn't happen. Maybe I was in the crate then.
Maybe you brought the crate.
Maybe so. This is my crate where I stay.
Leanne, why don't you have anything for show and tell? Well, I'll show you the crate where I stay.
Why are you staying in a crate? Well, I was getting feral.
This is why I don't understand what movies you're talking about. Maybe one day someone will come into my life and show me the error of my ways. But until then, back in the crate.
If you could just lock it on your way out, that'd be great.
It doesn't lock from the inside. It locks from the outside, so I can't get out. I can't be cultured.
Can't. This is ringing a bell.
Mama doesn't want me to have the knowledge.
Oh, God. So anyways.
Was that an oh, God that hit too close to home?
I think
is that
so.
What that shit?
I think so.
Sorry about that.
Light and fluffy today.
So, tell my therapist about it tomorrow.
Yeah. I still got wine at the house. So the Iron Giant follows Hogarth home, even though he's not supposed to, and he ends up taking a chunk out of the railroad, or he grabs the railroad because it's steel, right? It's, you know, he's going to eat it. But oh no, a train's coming at that particular moment. OMG, what a crazy setup. So the giant tries to put the rails back together, which was super cute. And so he kind of gets them back good enough, but then he's trying to straighten them out and get them back together when the train runs into the Iron Giant. Boom. A mess.
Now, you don't see a lot of people die in this one, but that probably happened.
I can assume somebody in there.
Yeah. And train derailments usually have a fatality or two.
Also, the wreck is usually a lot worse than what got depicted in this movie.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It got a lot worse. It was, yeah. But his parts go flying, the Iron Giant, because he's hit so hard. His parts just go everywhere. And the conductor tells Mansley what he saw, and he's now on the case, but he needs some evidence. But he puts together that Hogarth was at the power grid because of his name on, they find his BB gun at the power grid, or part of it,
yep.
On the butt of the gun. So he puts together that Hogarth is somehow wrapped up in all of this. Dun, dun, dun. Also, I need to mention that the Iron Giant can put himself back together. I forgot to do that part. He got blown apart.
Yep.
He can, so all his parts went flying, and then this little antenna comes out of his head, and all his little parts come back together, which was super cute.
That was
super
adorbs. Funny. Totes adorbs.
So, Mansley comes over to the house that night for some din-din with the family.
For some din-din.
With Hogarth and Annie. And Hogarth is having to deal with the giant's hand roaming around the house. That was super cute. Like a big giant tarantula roaming through the house.
Anyway, I like the when his mom wants him to say grace and the hand is walking around. He's like, oh my God. Thank you for this meal. Like, great. Like, I love that scene so much. Also, we should comment on the voice actor who did Hogarth.
Shooter McGavin is Mansley. I forgot to mention that.
But the kid, like, who voiced Hogarth was a kid. And it, to me, it's very hard to get those kind of performances with that nuance out of children.
He did a wonderful job in this movie.
Like, a lot of voice actors will, I mean, you've got voice actors now who are grown-ups who will voice children.
Yes.
And, you know, they can pull that kind of, like, depth and you know, emotion out of a performance. But it's, like, it's rare that you can get a kid to do it. And
right.
The kid that played Hogarth was pitch perfect.
Yeah, he was super good at it. Mm-hmm, 100%. Do you know how old he was when he did it?
Like 9?
Oh, really?
Young,
wow.
Young, yeah.
That's super young to do that. But yeah, I love the prayer when he's like, go, Satan, or something. Like the devil or something. Because he's yelling at the thing behind her. Yeah, wow, that is young to do that. That's really cool. So Mansley ends up leaving and Hogarth goes to read the giant a bedtime story because he's storing them out in the barn. I think he's storing them out somewhere behind the house. And this is where he tells the Iron Giant about Superman.
Yeah.
Superman is a good guy and you are a good guy.
He also introduces him to, like, the what was the other one? The other comic.
The Atomic.
Atomo. And he's like, no, Atomo, Superman.
Right. Yeah. He likes the good guy.
Yeah.
Aww.
Which, and it was a nice tie-in too, because Warner Brothers owns Superman. They can get the rights to that. They didn't have to fight anyone for it. Which was good on their part. But yes, great scene. Also an actual comic book. That was like Action Comics, I think 138.
Okay.
So
that's super cool.
It was legit.
Also, Vin Diesel does a great job voicing inanimate objects that somehow have life presence.
Right. Like how we get those levels of emotion out of him just like grunting single syllable words like that and Groot.
Uh-huh.
And then he's just a friggin' meat slug in like Fast and the Furious. It's all about family.
Exactly.
Like how do you have that type of... How does your spectrum go to those opposite ends?
I don't know, but I felt that rock and tree comparison he did in this film. But
right
now,
yeah,
family.
Like you listen to that, and you get some scenes later on in this movie. You get the We Are Groot scene, and you get all teared up. And then you watch a Fast and the Furious movie, and you get teared up for a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is so dumb. Like, what? No, really, they go to space in this one? Okay, sure.
Okay.
Cool.
Thanks, Vin. I think I've only seen the first one. Please do not make us go through all the Fast and Furious films.
I will never.
Okay, thank you. Thank God. I was worried to let you know about that because I was like, I just don't think it's going to be my jam.
No.
Any bits and pieces I've seen over the years, I'm like, this is the stupidest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Like, at one point when they introduced The Rock into the franchise, I'm like, oh, shit, now I got to watch these.
Right.
And I did, and they were, you know, okay.
Mm-hmm.
The last one, not the most recent one, not the 9th one, the 8th one, I took my godson to it because he really wanted to see it. I legitimately fell asleep during that one. I don't fall asleep in movies.
Did they go into space? Which one did they go into space in?
Apparently in the new one, they end up in space at one point.
In this 9th one?
In the 9th one. I don't know how they do it, but people have said, well, this is the one. They finally went to space. Because at a certain point, that became the joke. It's like, one of these fuckers just going to go to space? And apparently it was the 9th one.
I appreciate that they wrote it in. They're like, okay, right. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, Huntsville Home Video will not be reviewing the Fast and the Furious movies anytime soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Sincerely. So we have this sweet little bedtime story scene, and then the giant is hungry because he's got a rumbly in his tumbly. And he just wants to go into town, into Rockwell. But, you know, as Hogarth says, they're not ready for these things. They're not ready for the things they don't understand. Shocker. We have not developed past this. We have not developed past this. So in order to feed the giant, we go to Dean Connick Jr.'s place. His little scrap lot, you know?
Dean Connick Jr.
He's a tow guy, and he's got his scrap lot, and it's like, all you can eat metal, baby, you know? And, oh, I put here in my notes, Dean is hip, bro. And he's making art out of his scrap metal, and he's drinking espresso, and he finds the giant out there, and Hogarth convinces Dean to let him stay the night. Took a little bit of convincing, but we got him there. We got him there.
I also like in this scene when Dean introduces Hogarth to Espresso.
Yes.
That shit is accurate. I have part of the reason I don't like coffee so much is because I inadvertently drank like 9 cups of it at one point when I was like in 6th grade. And like,
all right, well, do tell.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So I was at this bullshit event, church event with my parents.
Oh shit, I'd die.
And so there's like no other kids there, and it was at a church, and there's nothing to do.
Of course.
But there was leftover coffee and donut holes from church, from the service. So I'm just like, oh, what is this shit? I'm like, oh, it tastes like crap. Oh, but there's sugar and cream. I could put enough of this in there to make it taste all right. Oh, it was good. And I like started slamming those and eating donut holes. And after like 6 cups of that, I'm bouncing off the walls.
Yeah.
Like just losing my fucking mind. Mm-hmm. I'm like, when are we going to go? When are we going to go? I got to go. I got to get out of here. I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. Yeah. Okay. God is good. God is great. We got to go.
God is good. God is great.
You need, like, what the fuck got into you? Coffee, Ma. Coffee. And then I had the worst gut rot ever. Like, my stomach hurt for like 4 days. Uh-huh. And I was just like, ugh. I'm like, nope, never again. Even now, just the smell of coffee, if it comes wafting my way, I'm like, bleh.
No shit. I'm glad I know that, because I almost today I was like, I really want some coffee, and I almost went and made some coffee in the back.
Ugh.
I'm so glad I didn't today.
My PTSD would have got me going.
Well, now I know. Now yep. I know not to do that around you. I'm so sorry.
There's a meme that I've seen float around several times. And like I associate it with coffee. If you have it, coffee, how does the meme go? It's like, the actual meme uses spinach. I'm going to use coffee. So it's like coffee is a lot like anal sex. If you have it forced on you as a child, you won't like it as an adult. Innocent and pure today.
We went back to the rape.
We did. We did.
We always go back to the rape.
We always end up there.
We always end up it. Unwanted penetration. What's happening?
So, Hogarth is bouncing off the walls due to a espresso overdose.
Yeah, and then
very pure, very innocent.
And then Mansley, let's see. So Hogarth goes back home, and now Mansley's renting out a room at his house.
Yeah,
because apparently they had one for rent, and someone's finally rented it. It's old Mansley who's asking all the questions.
I like the little montage of like, hey, how you doing, Chief? Hi, hey, sport, what's going on there?
Yes,
hey, Skipper.
Yeah, so he's asking all the questions, and he wants to blow up the metal man. Is what he wants to do. Luckily, Hogarth gives him some. Let's see. He puts some, because they go around town like the next day, and then he puts some laxative on his on his ice cream shake.
The
his...
old laxative in the milkshake trick.
Let me tell you something.
They called it the landslide.
The landslide. One time when I was a child, you know, X-Lax used to come as chocolate.
Oh, shit.
And I didn't know the difference. And,
oh, no.
Might have gotten into some of that chocolate.
Oh, no.
Had a little bit of a problem over at Mimi and Papa's house.
And a landslide of their own.
Had a landslide of my own as a child.
God bless it.
Never do it again.
Never again?
Don't get into there.
I was
leery of all chocolate there for like a while. I'm like, Christmas edition, Hershey's Kisses. I beg to differ.
X-Lax has a holiday edition, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
For when you gotta go, but you want to keep it minty.
Keep it festive.
Keep it festive during the holidays. Oh, it's like I'm regular again, and there's like a cooling menthol sensation.
Holidays.
Holiday. How do you like to celebrate the birth of Christ? By taking a regular shit.
God God is good. God is great. So, so Hogarth gives him the landslide, and he has to go use the restroom. Hogarth gets out of there, and he runs to find the Iron Giant and Dean doing scrap art together, which was so wholesome. So wholesome. So Hogarth has a better idea, though, to hang out with the giant, which was, of course, great. He gets in the car, and he acts like he's on a spaceship flying, and the Iron Giant gets him up in the air and then just spins him around. That was pretty cool.
If I did have an Iron Giant and I did keep it a secret, that's the kind of shit I'd be doing.
Exactly.
With him.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I want to be doing out in the middle of the woods. That's what I thought. I thought, and it was a child, I was going to run into my own friend in the woods, and we were going to hang out and do stupid stuff like that all day. That's what I thought was going to happen to
That's
me as a child.
That's the world I want to live in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go back to 1957.
God, I wish.
Damn. So eventually they go to the lake, and this was super cute when he does the cannonball into the lake, and it starts the tidal wave that goes. And it takes Dean out into the middle of the road. And I think he's like, this seemed like you. It was like, well, I've had enough fun for the day.
Yep. Yeah, like me as a kid would want to be doing the cannonballs with the Iron Giant. Me as an adult would be like, let's wrap this shit up.
Let's get it together.
How can I get back to my couch as soon as possible?
Here's when we get heavy. In the woods, Hogarth and the giant find a deer. And they're having like a moment with the deer. The deer walks up to the giant, you know, and all that sorts of stuff. But it runs off and it eventually gets shot. It is killed by man and guns.
Mm.
And now we have to go through the whole guns kill thing. And the giant is sad and he's mad at that gun.
He is. He is.
Guns yep. kill. Guns kill. So that's the narrative we're going to have going forward. Guns kill.
Which I think, and even Brad Bird, the director, says a lot of people misconstrue that message.
Okay.
They think it's like an anti-gun
okay.
movie. But it's more about what he says, and like I'm kind of paraphrasing this, it's not exactly, but it's like knowing that you have the capability for this level of destruction, and you choose not to do it.
Okay. All right, I'll get on board with that.
So it's not like so settle down, Second Amendment people. Well, they're not coming for your guns for the Iron Giant. All right, you can still watch the Iron Giant for the art that it is. Not get all worked up doing. They're not taking my fucking guns, stupid robot. Calm it down. Keep your guns. I want you to have your guns.
Right.
That's not about this.
Okay.
You can have your guns. Don't be a destructive dick about it.
I think
that's what the Iron Giant's about.
I think you know I'm not one of those, but I was like, oh, come on, bro.
Yeah.
The gun, you know? Yeah.
And I think, too, when you, again, art is subjective. You kind of take whatever you see out of it. But I think that's such a simple argument to be like, oh, he doesn't want this character to have a gun. He must be for gun control, or he must be for, like, it's not necessarily about that.
Right.
Like when you hear him say, like, everyone, you know, me, you, whoever, whether you have a gun or not, you have the power in you to be absolutely destructive. You can tear someone down with a weapon. You can tear someone down with words. You can like online bullying. That's a fucking thing. People are killing themselves over that shit. You as an individual have the power not to be that destructive
right.
prick. And that essentially is what Brad Bird sees as the theme of Iron Giant.
Yeah, but have you ever had a fresh deer from the woods, bro?
Yeah.
Venison's motherfucking good.
Venison is great.
Put that shit in a stew.
Man, my dad would make some deer burgers.
Yes.
Put like he'd marinate them in some French onion soup mix.
Okay.
Oh, man.
What?
Shit was good.
All right, then.
I mean, sometimes you got to pop them deer.
Sometimes you do.
Sometimes you do.
Maybe they just need a dinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Know?
I mean.
The poor hunter.
It's like, you know. Bambi's mom got snuffed out for a reason.
I had a friend whose dad would not let them watch Bambi because he said it was anti-hunter.
Wow.
And would not. It was like, it's anti-hunter propaganda. Now, this was like a good family, like not one of those families you'd think it would come from, like living in Atlanta. They're like, it's anti-gun. It's anti-hunter. Get that off the TV.
That always tickles me when people will get offended and not allow kids to watch a movie based on shit like that.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, again,
I thought that was overboard.
It like that's the message you took out of it. Maybe mm-hmm. you need to mm-hmm. look deeper within yourself, which I realize would require some thought and effort, right. which you don't have much of either.
Not in that instance.
No.
It's funny how people you wouldn't expect to say those things, like they just lose all comprehension in that one little spot.
Uh-huh.
You know? Yeah.
Can't watch Bambi.
Because it's anti-hunter. And I come from a long line of hunters, but it was that was never that case in my home. Like, it was never that way in my home.
That's fascinating.
But, yeah. Would not let him watch it.
Wow. All yeah. right.
Mm-hmm.
Other
it was a deal. It was a big deal.
Other people's kids, man.
Right? So, anyways, what are we talking about? Oh, so we're in the scene with the dead deer, and the giant asks if... He's like, I think Hogarth's like, well, things die. Like, if it's alive, it will eventually die. And he asks about, the Iron Giant asks if Hogarth's going to die. And he says, am I going to die? And it's like, well, you're made out of parts, but it seems like you have a soul because you think and you feel and all this sorts of stuff. And souls don't die.
How did that hit you?
I might have gotten a little teared up.
Yeah.
They didn't fall yet. They're going to, but but it's a very sweet scene.
This was the scene when Brad Bird was putting the movie together. He showed this to like the animators and the writers and everything like that. Everyone in the room was just mm-hmm. like just waterworks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yep, we got something here.
Yeah, yeah. It was good. It was a very touching scene. Yep. Very touching scene. So meanwhile, Mansley is in the woods himself and he's kind of looking through everything, trying to find some evidence, because at some point he calls the general and he calls the army. But they're like, you don't have any physical evidence of this tall man that people keep talking about. So he's going through the woods and he finds Hogarth's camera and he develops the film and he finds a picture of when he's running away, I think, from the power grid or at some point, and the giant's in the background. It's a super cute photo, by the way. That would be my profile picture.
And isn't it crazy how in the 50s you apparently had to have evidence before you went in guns blazing?
Weird, bro. Huh,
crazy time to be alive.
What's happening? That was good. I like that. That was really good. So Mansley interrogates Hogarth and he threatens taking him away from his mother.
This was like he was like a step away from waterboarding poor Hogarth.
Yeah, he
chloroformed him up.
He did. He tells Hogarth tells Mansley that he's in the junkyard and Mansley literally chloroforms him, bro, is what I put in my notes. And I was like, oh, that's scary. Like, that scared me a bit. I wasn't expecting to see the chloroform in an animated movie.
Right.
You know? So he knocks out a little bit, but he wakes back up and you find out the army's gonna be there in the morning. And we gotta warn Dean, right? But now they're having a standoff across the hallway because, you know, Mansley lives there now and he's nailed the window shut and they're just kind of staring at each other as they're sitting on the bed, which was super funny.
Nice little stare off.
Nice little Mexican standoff. And it looks like Hogarth falls asleep first and then Mansley falls asleep. But no, Hogarth actually snuck out. He set up his little helmet. He had his helmet on.
Yeah. Did the old, make a mannequin appear uh-huh. to be sleeping in your bed kind of deal.
Pillow under the, under the comforter thing. And,
you ever tried to pull that trick off?
No, I didn't. I thought about it though, but I knew I'd get caught. So I tell you what, I lived under fear, you know?
I mean, you can't really, force a fake Leanne into a crate and make it look convincing. They could look into the crate and see that you're not in there.
Yeah.
Poor crate baby.
Did you sneak out doing that before?
No. Like, I never really snuck out a lot. And my bedroom growing up was in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
So we had like kind of like a garden level. You know, I could like open the door and just crawl out the window if I needed to, which I only did like two or three times in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I never felt the need to lay out an immaculate.
No immaculate plan.
Yeah.
Not making things more complicated than they need to be.
Yeah.
Because that's my style. I'm going to make it as complicated as possible.
I was just like, well, if I don't get caught, going in or out, then I think I'm in the clear.
Right.
And like I said, three or four times in my career, in my life of like living at home, never got caught. Graduated, like cleared out with a winning record.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
You did well, kid. So he warns Dean, and when the army shows up at the scrap metal yard, Dean, they're like, where's the big guy? Where's the big iron guy?
He's inside.
Dean's like, yeah, he's out back, and he's going to talking about it. He's like, glad you're here, because, you know, we had a guy like place a bid on him, essentially, and he opens up and he staged the giant to look like a piece of scrap metal art.
Genius.
Super smart. I was like, oh, that's good, Dean.
That's good thinking.
I want to live with you, Dean.
I don't care if you got a soul patch.
Whatever, bro. It's scrap art. So they all think that this scrap art is being mistaken for a legitimate iron robot. So Mansley is in some trouble, and he's going to have to clear out that desk when he gets back to the office.
Mm-mm.
He gone from the government.
A little too overzealous on that one, Mansley.
Very overzealous, this character is. And I like Hogarth's mom being like, oh, you know, this art is so great, but this one's different. It just looks like you stage stuff around him. Like, she knows what's up. She
right.
knows what's up. And she's flirting with Dean a tad. I was a little jealous, but I let it slide.
Bitch, stay away from my man.
So Hogarth and the giant are then playing in the scrapyard. And that's when the giant puts on this big scrap metal S that he found on his chest, like he's Superman.
Yeah, because Hogarth wants him to be a Tomo. He's like, they're play
yeah.
fighting.
He's like no.
You're a Tomo. He's like, no, Superman.
Superman. Gosh, Vin Diesel in his voice.
Like, just, oh, right in the feels.
Got a S on for his Superman, but then we have a problem because, as any kid would do, he pulls like a fake gun on the Iron Giant, and he gets really mad, and he reacts with lasers that shoot out of his eyes because he doesn't like guns. Because we've had that issue. We had that instance with the deer. We don't like guns. So, and he's like, I think Dean like accuses, like gets mad at him and yells at him. He's like, I'm not a gun.
Yep.
God love him.
And then he runs off.
And then he runs off because Dean got mad at him. And they have to go after him to try to find him.
Well, because Dean also realizes he may have gotten a bit too ahead of himself. He
right.
realizes that when he didn't understand when Hogarth was shooting at him, that he was firing back defensively.
Defensively. Exactly. Exactly. He didn't see that part. He just saw him shooting out lasers out of his eyes. So they go, and meanwhile, the giant makes it into town. He actually rescues some kids that were on top of a building looking at him through binoculars because he's a good guy, but he's seen by the army.
Uh-oh.
The army's coming. They were leaving, and then they see him, so they start shooting at the giant, which is not what you do because he's going to shoot lasers out of his eyes. Not a good deal. And so Dean tells Mansley, he says, look, he's only reacting defensively. You need to tell the general to put the guns away. He'll be friendly and we'll fix this. But of course, Mansley tells the general that he's got a child. The child is dead and he's on a rampage, essentially, because he's so fixated on taking down the metal giant. What a metaphor.
He would make a great government employee currently.
Right.
Yeah. Some things never change.
See, some things never change. Mm-mm. So while we're running, because he's got Hogarth, I believe, right at this point, we learned that the giant can fly like Superman. He can zip on through, but he keeps being shot at. And then he refuses to use his lasers because he's not a gun, but he's shot out of the sky. Hogarth gets a little hurt, which makes the Iron Giant very mad. And if you thought the lasers were one thing, holy shit, wait a minute.
You don't fuck with family.
No. There it was. There was the tie-in. You don't. Because, you know, he's got a little dented part of his head, and he, like, pops that out. I liked that little thing. He pops that dent out, and he just becomes this massive walking weapon, like his hands go away and other lasers come out and just shit comes out of his chest. It was amazing. That was a super cool sequence.
I love that bit.
Yeah. So there's lasers galore and he's just wrecking house in the town. And so they decide the only way to take care of the Iron Giant is to nuke the son of a bitch.
I mean,
because of course we're going to nuke it.
That's how we do.
We're going to nuke everything. So they get on the radio to Nautilus to come over to attack the giant. But Hogarth tries to help the giant. Is like, you are what you choose to be. And he chooses to calm down and to not be a gun. No more destruction. And Dean convinces the general of, you know, don't fire at him. He's just being defensive, blah, blah, blah. He's just defending himself. And the general actually goes for it. But Mansley is so on the hunt for this guy. He's so obsessed with getting the giant that he grabs the radio and he tells Nautilus to fire the missile. And they do. Boom. Right straight into the air.
And I love the voiceover interaction between the general and Mansley.
Yes.
So good. He's like, you know where that missile is coming to, right, Mansley?
And it's not slapsticky. It's not funny. It's serious, and it is paced so perfectly.
So good. He's like, you know what that means, Mansley? We're going to die? We are going to die.
Yeah.
I was like, so good.
Hits you.
So good.
Yeah.
Love that bit.
There's no way they're going to survive it. Nothing. And then Mansley tries to leave like a bitch. He set off the bomb. It's coming after him. And he tries to leave. The giant stops him. And the giant understands that this bomb that's gone like up into the air and it's going to fall back down on him. He realizes that it's going to kill the entire town. So the Iron Giant has to fix it.
What's he going to do, Leanne? What's he going to do?
God. Earlier in the movie, when they start interacting with each other, you know, he keeps telling the Iron Giant to stay. He's like, no, you stay. I go. You stay. Like, they have that whole interaction.
No following.
Then at this part, the giant tells Hogarth to stay. Stay. I go. No following. And I was wrecked. I'm sad now thinking about it.
Yep.
And so the Iron Giant, we are both grown ass adults and we are steery eyed over this damn robot.
22, 21 years later, still get fucked up at this scene.
Damn it. And so,
like, just imagine, like, watching this scene as a 20-year-old dude with your 20-year-old dude friend in the theater, having to have a seat apart because we're not gay.
I remember that being a thing back in the day.
Oh yeah, that was totally a thing. And like, and this scene comes up, and I'm just like, oh shit, oh. Trying to not sniffle, trying to not, like, you know, I got my buddy on my left-hand side. I'm like, just cry out of the right side. Cry out of the right.
Tilt my head to the right, maybe it'll all filter over there.
God, like, if we both cry at this, are we going to have to, like, move to the country together? And
do,
like,
we have to kiss and open a bread and breakfast?
Yeah, like, oh, bed shit. And breakfast? And, yeah. And
did, like, he cry? Did he get upset? Like, do you know, or did you ask, or did you even talk about it?
No, I think the dude in both of us was just like, man, that was a great movie. You want to go, like, grab a burger, like murder a deer or something? Fuck, that was a good movie. The ending was a little pussy, but whatever. And then on the inside, I'm like, oh my God, that was fucking beautiful.
I remember when the world used to be like that.
Uh-huh. And now I could probably call that buddy because we have interacted like on the 20th anniversary of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Something came out on Facebook and he tagged me and he's like, dude, remember going to see this in the theater and how much we loved it and everything like that? I'm like, yeah, I should reach out to him and be like, hey, man, like, I was crying like a bitch when I was 20. Were you crying like a bitch, too? Like, we're both happily married straight men now. So, like, there's nothing to worry about. We could sit at a movie theater side by side. No more of that seat separator.
Dude, that wrecks me, the seat separation, because I remember that. met people in my life who did that.
You always tried
like,
to
you had to get the woman in between them, or otherwise you sat apart.
Or you just justified it as like, I need the elbow room, bro.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
I need the elbow room. I'm a tall drink of water. I got to stretch it out. But also, never once in my entire life did I ever walk into a movie theater and see two guys sitting next to each other going, I don't approve of that lifestyle.
Right, no.
Never once.
No.
But as soon as it's you, you're
as
like.
As soon as you, it's a different story.
I need the seat. Yep. I need the seat. There's a great, there's a comedian, Kyle Kinane, who I absolutely fucking love. And he's got a great bit on that. And he's like, oh, man. I'm glad we have this seat separating us, because I was waiting until Transformers 3 to blow you. But now I can't because of the seat.
Yes!
Yeah,
that's
that was
so freaking funny to me.
Right?
So good. Oh, man, I needed that laugh. We needed that laugh. We were crying over an animated movie.
Had to break it up with a little brevity before we got into the fucking heaviness of this movie.
So I go, you stay, no following. The giant flies into space.
Head on into
head
a
on.
Nuke.
And so the missile's going up, and then it starts to turn and go back towards Earth, back towards the target. And just before the giant hears, or he remembers in his head, to Hogarth's voice going, remember, you are who you choose to be. And what is the Iron Giant's last word?
Superman.
Boom! I was crying like an idiot.
Eyes pissing tears.
I get it. Yep. Oh, it was so sad. You are who you choose to be. Superman.
Like, the movie was already a classic, good, in my opinion, at this point. It cemented it, mm-hmm, with that scene.
So good.
Like, the giant just closes his eyes, smiles, and you just see the big mushroom cloud form in the upper atmosphere. Mm. My God.
Mm-hmm.
That is art, my friend.
Yeah.
That is fucking beauty.
It's got to pull on your heartstrings, too, as a comic fan, because you get that,
yeah,
with the comics and what those characters mean to you and they bring to your life and how they shape you.
Yeah.
Those characters shape your life.
Absolutely.
You know, and to see that on the screen, that had to be super cool.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Definitely added to the,
mm-hmm, emotion.
Oh, fuck.
Right side.
Don't look at me. I don't want to raise sheep together.
And make textiles out of their wool. Oh, shit. So then in the aftermath, the everything clears, and we have this shot of a statue in the park of the Iron Giant holding Hogarth in his hand, and it's made by Dean, who is now with Hogarth's mom.
Oh, they hooking it up.
Dean and Annie forever, bruh. And
Hogarth got a new dad.
So the general actually ends up sending Hogarth the only thing that was retrieved from the Iron Giant. And it was a big bolt. I believe it was on the side of his head.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets this big bolt, and it's super sweet. And then that night, while everybody's asleep, it starts to beep. We get in a beeping from the bolt. And then we see that the bolt rolls out of the box and it goes, and then over, I can't remember, was it Antarctica or was it, I can't remember where it was.
Like the North Pole. Yeah.
Yeah. So you see all of the parts start to go back. They're going back to the Iron Giant to be reassembled, because he does that.
Oh, shit.
He can't die because he's got a soul. He's got parts in a soul. He won't die. And then they go to reassemble. But before he reassembles, you just know he's alive. And then that's the end of the film.
Perfect.
Super perfect ending.
Perfect ending.
Ugh, I loved it.
I love this movie. Not a flaw with it.
I can't think of anything that's wrong with it either.
Like, I mean, you could go back and nitpick this, that, the other. Like, no, it's just, this to me is a perfect movie.
Perfect story, perfect pacing, super sweet story, super heavy material that's presented in a wonderful way, good moral way. Loved it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Loved everything about it. 4.5 amazos out of 5.
Amazos? What's amazos?
I'm sorry, Atomos.
Atomos.
I'm thinking Amazo is a different comic book robot.
Are you thinking of something amazing?
No, it's just another comic book robot.
That's an inside joke that you guys can't know about. Because fuck you. I think it's worthy of 4.5.
4.5, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it 4.5.
It knocks on the door of 5. Like, I don't really know why I don't give it 5. It is one of my...
Is it in your top 10?
I would put it in the top 10.
Okay.
Like I said, it is hands down my favorite animated movie.
Okay.
Love this movie. Can really fight. You know what? I'm going to revise it 5 out of 5.
Oh, wow.
I'm making it a fiver.
I'm going to keep it at 4.5.
All right.
But I will not argue against your rating.
I love everything about this movie. I love the fact that it does take place in like the 50s. I like that 50s aesthetic.
Yeah.
I like the look of the Iron Giant. I think that's an absolutely perfect design.
Mm-hmm.
The voiceover is huge for me in this movie because a lot of times in animated movies, you'll attract, you know, say a big celebrity like a Jennifer Aniston who doesn't really do well at voiceover
because
there's a completely different method to acting
100%.
On screen and acting voiceover.
Yeah.
And I've seen some amazing actors. I've heard them in animated things and they don't.
Doesn't translate.
I'm like,
well.
how did you not do this well?
Right.
But like, I think her performance is great. I think the kid is amazing. Harry Connick Jr. is amazing.
He's so good the way he did Dean's voice.
Every actor in this, their voiceover, absolutely perfect.
Shooter. I never know his name. McDonald,
Shooter,
isn't it?
McGavin.
Shooter McGavin. He's always Shooter McGavin to me. He was perfect in the amount of just craziness that was Mansley.
Yep.
Too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did so great in that. Like, yeah, and having reviewed it again now after a couple years, I'm like, yep, this is a perfect movie.
This nostalgia did not bite you in the ass.
It did not.
No.
No. And that has happened before where, you know, especially with animation, you go back and you're like, oh, this doesn't really hold up. This doesn't translate well.
This is racist.
For so much of that. At one point when Dean, after the Iron Giant, they make him to look like the art and the military shows up and then they go away. And Dean's like, it's okay, you can go now. And he flashes the okay symbol, which is now fucking deemed racist and offensive because morons. So it's like, oh, now we got to cancel the Iron Giant.
Oh, my
because
God.
Of that.
Please don't put that out there and let it be projected out there.
My God.
Don't tweet that.
They won't cancel the Iron Giant. They'll just digitally replace it to a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Which if you got on like 4chan or 8chan and put out some bullshit about how the thumbs up is really super fucking racist, then we got to get rid of that one, too.
Please.
Think for yourself, you fucking idiots.
God. Watch that QAnon documentary. On HBO.
That's a good one.
That's a fucking good one, but it will make you lose your faith in humanity.
Which I already have none.
We're right back in the same boat where we started.
Yeah.
World's full of idiots. Got it.
We were innocent and pure for long enough. Watch the Iron Giant. I felt better about life. Opened my front door. God damn it. Burn it all down.
Off.
Click.
Click.
Too much. But goddamn, is the Iron Giant
light and fluffy, light and fluffy,
light and fluffy,
like a pancake on a Sunday, light and fluffy,
like a pancake on a Sunday,
light and fluffy,
fucking great.
Except nothing.
Except nothing.
Nope, I'm not even gonna go there. Light and fluffy.
We're keeping it upbeat today.
Keeping it real. Keeping it light and fluffy.
Yep. You wanted animated. I gave you animated. I gave you wholesome and pure and innocent. And we'll go back to being cunts next week.
Okay, great, because I'm feeling withdrawal.
Right.
I can't last much longer.
I feel every now and again we got to, you know, get a movie like this out of our system to kind of realign our perspectives.
Yeah.
Before we, you know, go comfortably back to rape.
Right. We go back to the rape eventually.
Yeah.
We didn't get enough rape in, if I'm going to be honest with you this week.
I mean, you know. I think that was kind of by design.
Okay. All right. Well, we better have double the rape next week, my friend.
There was a lot of dick and titty talk last week. If you want more of that, if you came here for the dick and titty, go listen to last week's episode of Willy's Wonderland. Plenty of that floating around.
Plenty oh dick.
But you know, every now and again, we gotta swing that pendulum of purity the other way.
Yeah.
And you know.
Well, I'm ready to swing back.
All right. So what should we do next
week?
Dude,
I don't even know. I haven't even thought about it. Not even thought about this.
I don't know.
I have a suggestion.
Ah, of course you do.
And I want to see if you're up for it.
Okay. Rape.
All right, we're going to do I Spit on Your Grave.
No, please don't. Oh, God, the worst. Oh.
No, we're not doing I Spit on Your Grave.
Ugh, man.
I did watch Last House on the Left, the original, for the first time.
The OG?
The OG.
How did that sit with you?
Yeah, that was, you know, I appreciated them killing them bastards.
Right?
You know? So I overlooked the rape.
I was able to put that aside.
I was able to put the rape. I don't mind rape, you know.
All right.
Whatever. Spit on Your Grave's a lot. It's excessive.
Yeah.
It's way excessive.
Did you watch the original or the remake?
They did a remake of that son of a bitch?
They did.
I didn't even finish the original. Okay. That's one of those where I couldn't take it after a while. I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt weird. I felt weird about myself watching it.
Right?
You know? And I was like, I got to let this one go.
There are horror fans out there that, you know, like they'll watch a movie like that with zero attachment, zero emotion. Just right. Like, yeah, man, it's great. I like how they filmed this. I'm like, dude, no. Like that's watching a movie like that and being kind of uncomfortable, kind of like a little grossed out. That's how I know I'm still not a total monster.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, there's like, I'll still go cry at the Iron Giant. Know that there's a little bit of human in there.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I think we're very human and we're very, we're just tired of everyone's shit.
I think our problem is we're self-aware.
Yes. That's the problem.
Like,
which I'd rather have that problem than these stupid assholes who aren't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like knowing I can keep myself in check.
Kind of, but at the same time, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, the places.
Light and fluffy.
Oh, the places we will go.
What are we doing next week, Jack? What's your suggestion?
So let's make it a twofer next week. Let's do a Monday and a Thursday.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Because I got something I think you'll be down for.
Okay.
We're going to kind of keep it robot oriented.
Mm.
Let's introduce you to Terminator 1 and 2.
Oh, shit. I'm so excited to get Arnold Schwarzenegger back on the plan.
Because the first and only Arnold Schwarzenegger movie you have ever seen is Kindergarten Cop. Which we discovered when we reviewed that. Check it out at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com.
You know how you're just so, you have a public figure so in your presence that you just never realized you've never seen any of their movies?
Nope.
Yeah, I know.
I sure don't.
Okay.
I have never looked at an actor and going like Clint Eastwood or Arnold or Sylvester Stallone and be like, man, I've seen all their movies, only to realize I've never seen any of their movies.
I never said I saw all their movies. I just assumed I had.
Man.
That was a wild place we went that day.
You know what? I'm going to put that little realization up on our Facebook page.
Again.
Because it's been a while. But it was so good. I mean, you want to talk about pure and innocent and it, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it. The moment that you had realized after we reviewed Kindergarten Cop that you had never seen an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie other than Kindergarten Cop. It slays me still to this day.
It slayed. Yeah. It was rough for both of us.
Right.
And you can very well hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So check that out on our social media pages at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at
HSV Home Video.
And next week, Monday, we're going to talk about Terminator.
Okay.
And then Thursday, we'll talk about Terminator 2.
Okay.
Every other Terminator movie, piece of shit. You don't need to see them.
Okay, but you're on board with 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Perfect.
So
I'm excited. I'm super excited for this.
It's another one of those weeks where we right the wrong.
Yeah.
We get Leanne introduced to the Terminator. I almost, like, being as how you watch movies the way you watch them, we should almost do Terminator 2 on Monday and then go back and
let's
do.
Not.
Okay. All right.
Let's be light and fluffy about this.
Okay. All right. All right. We're keeping it light and fluffy today. I will be very curious to see what you think about those. I will, you know, as we often do going into these movies, you never watch the trailers. You never do any research on them before you watch the movie. You just go in and watch them. But I will say, in the world of sequels, T2 probably up as one of the best sequels of all time.
Okay.
Top three for sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. I am ready.
All right.
I'm so excited.
All right. So next week, we will be back. Apparently, some people like it when we do two episodes a week. So that's why
here's
we'll
your
do
treat.
It. There's your treat.
Here's your bone we're throwing at you.
Little morsel from the Huntsville Home Video crew.
Throw them bones.
Yeah, you rented the movie. Now you got the goobers to go with it.
Us.
Yeah.
The goobers.
We are the chocolate-covered peanuts.
Yep.
So in the meantime, again, follow us on those social media pages, the Facebook, the Twitters, the Instagrams at
HSV Home Video.
You do so well at that.
Thank you.
You can also hit us up.
It's my one job here.
Shit. You can also hit us up on HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com. You should also give a follow to Underboss Photography, Underboss_Photography on the Instagram. Julianne, you just got yourself another print from Michael.
I did. I had mentioned back on a previous episode that I needed a second one to even out my wall because I got one on either side of the I needed one on the other side of the dresser, and I got it today. So
it looks super cool.
I'm gonna buy a frame for it on the way home, and we're hanging that baby up. We're doing some demolition today.
Oh snap.
Yeah, bop, bop.
You gonna do the jewel case technique where you put the jewel case next to the nail hole and move three over and hang it accordingly?
No.
My
ears are ringing.
Look like you just stroked out for a moment.
I think I did. Think I did, because I tried not to think about that anymore.
All right. That's fair.
No jewel cases.
Okay.
All tape measure and math.
All tape measure and math. I mean, that's what they say about Leanne Foster. She went to that high school reunion. Yeah, you know what, that Leanne Foster. She's all tape measure and math.
Tape measure and math, yep. Bro.
God damn it.
Can't hide who you are.
You know?
No.
Tape measure and math. And family.
You're an idiot.
Yep. That's a true story. So until next week, my friends, have an amazing week. We will chat with you again Monday and Thursday for a two-banger. Chatting up the Terminator movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Until then, be kind and rewind. Superman.
I got nothing.